beginning at the fourth verse, Luke 2, 4. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judah, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and lineage of David. And there went, he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Today I want to talk about the shepherds. We spoke last week about the angels, about how the angels didn't understand what was happening. They delivered the message, but the Bible says they don't understand. It's not intellectually they are in any way impaired, but they simply cannot conceive of the plan of salvation. What wonder they must have looked upon this situation. Today we turn to the shepherds. The Bible is very clear in verse 8. It says they were out in their fields, living out in their fields, near to the town of Bethlehem. There are many today that will go around and you'll hear them. In fact, I just heard it this week at work. Someone made this grand pronouncement. Well, we of course know that Jesus wasn't born in the winter time. But we know nothing of the sort. There is no indication of what day Jesus was born on. December 25th was chosen to appropriate a Roman pagan holiday and turn it into a Christian holiday, but we have no idea what day Jesus was born. He could have been born on any day of any week, of any month of the year. You say, why is that? And my answer is very simple. Those shepherds were out in the field 360 days a year. Those shepherds were the shepherds who watched the flocks who were to be sacrificed in the temple of Jerusalem. Thousands upon thousands of sheep had to be kept by the priests, approved as being sheep without spot or blemish, to carry on the daily sacrifices. And those flocks needed to be nearby and were out in the fields every day of the year. Even in the cold months of winter. And so this was not something that the shepherds did as an occasional thing. That was where they lived. And we have to say, those shepherds were undoubtedly, they were the shepherds raising the lambs to sacrifice for sin. But I have to wonder, in fact, it's little wonder I have to probably state emphatically, those shepherds had long ago lost any wonder about raising the temple sheep. It is the numbness of the ordinary that so often kills our spiritual life. It is not the grand temptation, but it is the day-to-day wearing down of the constantly simply giving in to the little things. What does the Bible say? It is the little foxes that ruin the vine. And there is no possible way that those shepherds were sitting in those fields, watching over those sheep, undoubtedly bored to death, that they were expecting angels to appear that night. Those shepherds were not sitting there as the sun was going down, going, "Oh, it's almost time. The angels must be on their way." We must understand that God comes at the most unexpected of times. 115 years ago, a young man went to a prayer meeting in Wales. The elder that was running the prayer meeting that night congratulated him for coming and being unlike the other children that were out on the lake or out fishing or doing whatever young gentlemen did in 1900. As he turned to him, he said, "Never miss the prayer meeting. Remember Thomas. He wasn't present when Jesus showed up." And we never know when God is going to show up. Many of those shepherds had probably been there for decades. Old, gnarled men passing on their skill to the next generation. They had lived and assumed that they would die without ever having a break in their lives. And into the middle of that, the angels appear. God so often does that. Remember Abram? Here's this son of an idol maker. He's not only an idolater, but his family makes their living making idols for others to be corrupted by. And God appears to him and says, "Abram, leave your father and mother and your family and go off into a land I will show you." Where there's Elijah. Walks out of the mountain where he had met with God, and there's this prosperous farm, 12 men plowing, each with a yoke of oxen. That was a rich farm. And he walks up to the last man in line, the one supervising the others, making sure they were doing it right. And he takes off his cloak and he throws it over him and said, "God's called you. Come follow me." I'm sure Elisha didn't think for a minute when he went out to farm that day that God intersect with his life. Or just a little earlier in Luke, Mary going about her daily chores. Luke 1:29. Mary was greatly troubled at his words. Verse 28, "The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you.'" And Mary was greatly troubled by his words. Let me ask you, are you ready for God to come to your life today? Or has the numbness of the daily of your life so killed any expectation of God showing up in a miraculous way that, like Mary, you would be troubled if God showed up? Remember Revelation 3:3? Jesus said to the church of Sardis, Jesus said to them, I will come to you at a time you are not expecting me. And I have to ask this question. Why was it only the shepherds that saw the angels? How many people were there in Bethlehem that never saw the angels? That innkeeper never saw the angels. Remember what it said about the inn? The inn was full. And by that, they didn't mean every room was sold out. Because in those days, you didn't get a room in the inn. You know, we go to an inn today, and you go into this big room with two beds, and there's two of you, and they say, oh, the room's full. No. In those days, it was you got a section of the floor. And you slept nose to tail, side to side. That inn was packed. But they didn't see the angels. How often do we miss what God is doing . I want to show you something about these shepherds. Maybe it is the reason that the angels appeared to them. Notice what it says in verse 15, when the angels, Luke 2:15, when the angels had left them and gone to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go. So often God speaks to us and we go, what, huh? Now, those shepherds didn't have to go. They could have sat on that hillside and said, wow, what a wonderful message from those angels. But they said, let's go. And anytime God ever appears to us, anytime God ever comes to us in any way, He always expects us to do something about it. Do you remember the call of every one of the disciples? Every time Jesus talked to a disciple, what did He say? Hey, why don't you take a study course in me and go on in your fishing business or your tax collecting business and be a better person for me? Is that what He said? What did He say every time? Come, follow me. Whenever God appears, He always expects us to respond. Do you remember Moses? Exodus 3:3. Do you remember Moses? Moses saw this burning bush and he says, he could have said to himself, wow, that's really neat. Got sheep to watch. Got a job to do. How often do we say that to God? Well, I've got plans. Do you realize the one thing that characterizes a great act of God is when God shows up, people drop everything and change their lives to honor Him. Moses said these words. He said, I will turn aside. Now, if you look at these shepherds, I want you to notice they were with They were not out in the field on a camping trip. They were not out in the field because they didn't like living in houses. They were out in the field doing a job. They were watching the sheep. And in those days, you needed someone to watch the sheep. There were predators. We don't understand. My son called me and said, he's got a new dog, and he said, I've got to be really careful because there's been a number of dogs killed down here by coyotes. Because a few years ago, they decided that there were too many vermin around, so they would introduce coyotes back to the ecosystem in that area of the mountains. Now the area is overrun with coyotes. They're attacking cows. They're attacking other herd animals. We don't understand what it's like to live in a dangerous world. We live in a world where we can go outside. You can have your kids go outside and play in the yard and don't think twice about it except for another human being. But that wasn't that way in Jesus' day. That wasn't that way for most of human history. In fact, during the revolutionary days in the United States, they didn't have child strollers. They had child minders with big stakes about this long. Looked like a modern stroller, you know, the thing you put the kid in and the kid kind of walks around and bangs into stuff. They had things that looked exactly like that, and they belted them in or tied them in with ropes. But instead of wheels on the bottom, they had stakes about this long, and you drove them into the ground to keep the child from moving. Because if the child got too close to the edge of the field, a wolf or a bear could grab them and bang, they'd be dead in a second. That way in Jesus' day, there were lions, there were wolves, those sheep needed guarding, and there were robbers and bandits who would not be above getting a free lamb dinner. They were there with a purpose, but notice what it says. They said, let's go. God took priority. I want you to notice, not only did they go, look at what verse 16 says. Look at verse 16. Luke 2:16 says, so they hurried off. How often is it that we saunter off? All right, God, if you really want me to. You remember the line from the Battle Hymn of the Republic? Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. One of the things that we don't understand is when God shows up, he doesn't stay still. God keeps moving. And when God shows up, he expects us to join in moving with him. Peter ran into that. Remember the account? Jesus takes them up to the mount and he's transfigured and he shows them his glory. And what's Peter say? Man, let's just build some tents and camp out here. Let's just park it right here. Jesus says, no, we got to go back down the mountainside. And you know what? Peter and those other three didn't learn a bloody thing up on that mountain, because as soon as they get down to the bottom, they failed miserably. Jesus had given them all authority over demons, and yet they get down the hill and they can't cast out a demon. After seeing Jesus in his glory, they had no power over that demon. Not only did they go, they saw that they had a mission. Look at verse 17. Look at verse 17. It says, when they had seen him, Jesus, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. They had a mission. They spread the word. how often. We want to come, but we don't want to go. Verse 20 tells us this. It says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which was just as they had been told. Now, here's my question, and it's not just about those shepherds, because we don't know the answer about those shepherds. This is merely a rhetorical question, because we won't know until glory the answer to this question, but we will know it for us. Here's my question. Did they go back to their old way of life? I've been around long enough to know there are people who get greatly stirred for a period of time. And God does a profound work in their life, and they become greatly excited. But as the days and weeks and months and years pass, that experience fades, because that's what experiences do. Five years later, were those shepherds any different than before the angels appeared? Or were they back in those fields watching the same sheep, headed to the same temple, doing the same things that would never pay for sin? I can't answer that question, but you and I must answer the question, how will our lives be changed? Did those shepherds ever seek out Jesus when they heard that this man named Jesus was doing miracles and preaching a gospel that drew people back to God? Did they again leave their sheep to go and seek Him out? Or did they say, well, I had my experience 30 years ago. That's all I need. I saw the angels. That's enough. It saddens me that so often, well, today it's even worse, but it used to be when I first got saved 40 years ago, when days were better than they are today spiritually, you would ask someone for a testimony, and they'd immediately go back 40 years and start talking about then. And that might be great to start then, because then's important. But most of the time, it stopped with then. The question isn't, did I see angels 30 years ago? The question is, am I seeking God today? Am I hurrying about His business? Am I spreading the word He has given me? Or am I slipping inch by inch back to my old life? I was talking with someone just this week, and they were complaining that you know, things aren't going really good, and boy, you know, it's so hard. And I asked this question, and I'll ask it of you today. And here it is. If you were to die today, what harm would be done to the kingdom of God? if you were to die today, what harm would be done to the kingdom of God? The person said, well, I don't have a lot of time, I can't. And I said, and some of you don't know her, but many of you do. I said, well, I remember Edie Holly. Toward the end of her life, she was an invalid. She was in the nursing home. Her health declined. For a long time before that, she was living in the manor and didn't drive anymore, couldn't get around. But that didn't stop her from making a difference for the kingdom. The day she went home was a sad day for the kingdom on earth. I'm reminded of the story of Charles Finney, and Charles Finney is a name that many people know. Fewer people know the name Father Nash. They called him Father because he was about 10 or 15, maybe even 20 years older than Charles Finney, but God put the two of them together, and Father Nash was Charles Finney's prayer warrior, head of a team of three of them. Charles Finney said, in commenting about Jesus praying in the garden, he said, I've never seen someone pray so hard that literally blood poured out of their pores, he said, but I have seen men pray so hard that their nose bled. He was referring to Father Nash. Father Nash was older than Charles Finney, and so in the course of human life, he passed sooner. For all the revival and all the wonderful miracles Charles Finney had known, when Father Nash passed, Charles Finney hung up the thing, went off the road, and stopped doing itinerant ministry. He said, it's over. We'll never really see what we've seen before because we don't have someone praying like he prayed. Here's my challenge. If you were to die today, how would that affect the kingdom of God? Would nothing change, or would there be a party in hell going, finally! I hope this visit of the angels changed the shepherds. I hope it just wasn't a momentary blip. So easy. We're going to talk next week about Mary. And it's so easy because we're going to look at how, even with all these things that Mary saw, it still didn't really change her life. And it took something more than that. And it takes something more than just an experience. Are you chasing Him? Let's bow together. Oh God, these shepherds were out in the field. Doing the right thing, watching over the temple sheep, making sure they remained blameless, obeying the law, when suddenly their lives were upended. And we have the testimony of Scripture that there was an immediate transformation. They hurried off to see the Messiah. Oh God, we do not have any indication whether that change lasted or not. Oh Lord, I've lived long enough to know a multitude of people who at one point were loving you and living for you and desiring to please you and seeking after you, and today they're no different than they were before that time came. Oh God, I pray that we would have better than that. We would not just be people that might hear an angel and then go our way, but that we would be people whose lives were transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray.